SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
It is a Football Friday Live right here on FFC. That is Football Full Circle, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network in Sirius XM Channel 159. He is the mastermind of the pigskin. That is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. Week 15 of this National Football League regular season, just 4 weeks remain to set the stage for the playoffs. Teams trying to earn that postseason berth, focus on their playoff positioning, where they might fall into the seed line, and maybe take down a divisional championship. So, Joe, with all of that at stake for week 15, we will preview everything you need to know for the NFL Sunday slate and week 15, all 13 games that we have on Sunday. But it also got started last night in Santa Clara with a huge NFC West divisional duel between the Rams and the 49ers. Here is our charge on this Football Friday. Recap of Thursday night football between LA and San Francisco up in Northern California. Its impact on the NFC playoff picture. A preview of every single game on Sunday, all 13. And then a little college football conversation. Army-Navy, Heisman Trophy talk to end out our hour together on Sports Grid Radio.
Yeah, I mean, that game last night too, Ben. I mean, even though it was ugly on both sides of the football for the Rams and 49ers, it still came down to the fourth quarter. The Rams did pick up a critical NFC West win. They now swept the series against San Francisco. It looks like Shanahan and the crew are dead and buried from the wild card perspective. And for the Rams right now, really starting to come into form in terms of back-to-back weeks. They were booked as an underdog. A lot of people thought San Francisco, based off the dominating home win over Chicago, would just get another victory to get back into the race. Wasn't the case. They grinded out a victory. Kyren Williams and Matt Stafford, when the game was on the line, made enough plays. All of a sudden, the Rams starting to look like a playoff contender. And I still said it. They're the best team, I believe, Ben, in the NFC West. And we'll see how it plays out the rest of the way.
Right now, Joe, they are booked as the slight favorites to win the NFC West for reasons we will lay out in this opening segment. Let's talk about the game itself on Thursday night to kick off week number 15. It was not pretty offensively, but good teams find a variety of ways to win. And if you are the LA Rams, Joe, who started this season just 1-4, when the offensive line was Swiss cheese, when the defense was dealing with injuries, when Puka Nacua was not in the lineup on a regular basis, the Rams have turned the tide of their season from there. With a 12-6 win last night against San Francisco, the Rams have now won 7 of their last 9 games to post an 8-6 mark. And again, Joe, what is the test of a championship caliber team? At least one of that should reach the postseason, finding different ways to win. The Rams played in the highest scoring game of the season last Sunday, just 5 days ago, against the Buffalo Bills, 44-42, the Rams victorious in a game that featured 86 combined points. And then 4 days later, they win the first NFL game this season without a single touchdown recorded from either side. 12-6. The Rams made 4 field goals. San Francisco only made 2. That the difference is the Rams win outright as a 3-point road underdog.
Yeah, and think about, you know, the 2 games that they lost were to Miami and the Philadelphia Eagles, both in their place, right? They got pushed around on both sides of the ball on both of those games. But, you know, in the middle part of the year, they were plus 790, Ben. And we talked about it on Football Full Circle to make the playoffs. Look at where they are at right now. Minus 110 is the price. They're the front runners to win the NFC West, right? They already have a game up on Seattle that they beat earlier in the year on the road. And that's the one thing I think that you can't take away from Sean McVay. We know when Matt Stafford and Puka and Kupp are on in terms of the passing game, they're very difficult to beat. But that defense has come on. They're opportunistic. They force teams to methodically work down the field. And that's what you can, that's the only thing you could ask for. They ran the football when they had to. Again, are they on the same level as Detroit, Philly right now? Absolutely not. But in a one-game elimination type of situation with McVay and Stafford and that group, especially if it's indoors, look out because they're going to give it its best shot.
Joe, last week against Buffalo was one of the highest scoring games we have ever seen. From an offensive perspective, it was historic. It was the first game in NFL history that both teams scored at least 40 points and neither turned the football over. The Rams won that game 44-42. Then the following week, 4 days later, short week on the road against a San Francisco team fighting to save its season. The Rams defense steps up. The Rams defense on Sunday against Buffalo looked like they could never make a stand nor get a stop. They made every important play. And although when you look at the final stats and the box score, Matthew Stafford did not throw for 305 touchdowns with 150 going to Puka Nacua and another 100 going to Cooper Kupp, who in fact did not have a single grab last night against San Francisco. They made plays when it mattered most, moving the sticks, retaining possession, not giving the football back to San Francisco. And Joe, this season for San Fran will be a lost one and a disappointment, namely because of significant injuries on both sides of the football all year long. We have belabored that point. But for this San Francisco team to now be 6-8 with 191 yards of total offense, the second fewest ever put up in Kyle Shanahan's nearly decade as San Francisco's head coach, it should not be as bad as it has looked at times. It should not be as bad offensively as we saw last night against LA.
No, and again, forget Christian McCaffrey. Take him out of the equation, right? The passing attack with Brock Purdy was absolutely pathetic. They get the 33-yard pass play to George Kittle basically on the first drive of the ball game and were inept the rest of the way. Brock Purdy looked like a rookie coming out of Iowa State as opposed to a quarterback that took his team to the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah.
And that is the biggest problem. Their identity as an offense is completely transformed. Forget Purdy for a second. What about Deebo Samuel? Drops, ineffective in terms of the rushing attack.
Yep.
This is not the same San Francisco offense that we've seen in terms of out-scheming opposing defenses with Kyle Shanahan. They are completely one-dimensional, and I don't know what the reason is. I don't know if it's Debo's lost his step. I don't know if the pressure of this team just got to it. It just, you know, from being, you know, the hunted every single year that it finally caught up to them. But they look like a burnt-out football team. You got players quitting in the second half. That's another factor as well. I mean, from an internal locker room perspective that the team has to answer, I don't know what's going on, but I can tell you this. They're going to have to break it up to some capacity. We'll see what they do next year, but they're dead and buried, even if somehow, some way they sneak into the playoffs.
This season, Joe, is lost for San Francisco. I think last night was the final stand for the 49ers to even sniff the NFC West or a postseason berth. I think it is over. They have not been mathematically eliminated by any means, but they are a 6-8 football team who is now 1-4 in the division. Those are damning records you do not come back from. Meanwhile, for LA, the Rams entered Week 15, Joe, not as the favorites to win the NFC West, trailing Seattle by a full game. But they have already beat the Seahawks once this year. They will end the year at home against Seattle. And with the crucial road win last night, LA only a half game behind the Seahawks, who are a short but a home underdog against Green Bay on Sunday night. Joe, all to say, LA is not in first place in the NFC West technically, but they are still the very slight favorites to win the divisional crown. Minus 105, plus 105 is the number now on Seattle.
Yeah, and Seattle's not going to be a difficult out, meaning they've won four straight, and we'll see what they do this weekend. But again, you have to believe Stafford over Smith and that offense over what Seattle possesses right here, right now. But that's why they play the games.
They will end out the regular season against one another. A quick look at the NFC playoff picture before the Sunday slate next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on Football Full Circle. It is FFC. He is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. So, Joe, after a critical road victory up in Northern California for the LA Rams, they are now 8-6, winners of 7 of their last 9 games, and the very slight minus money favorite at minus 105. To win the NFC West. The Rams will end the year on the road against the Jets and then 2 consecutive home games against divisional foes. The Cardinals in LA to finish in the regular season finale against Seattle in SoFi. That game very well could decide the NFC West when all is said and done. So, Joe, for me, knowing the Rams' favorable slate remaining after a crucial road victory over San Francisco last night, I think the Rams are in pole position to win the NFC West, and that slight favored minus money price is indeed justified.
Yeah, and again, I wouldn't, for me, Ben, I mean, the West to me is where it's at, you know, for the Rams, but I take a deeper approach on the Rams big picture that, it, you know, somehow, some way, I believe at 18-1 right now, they could be a dark horse to potentially win the championship. Are they the best team in the conference? Absolutely not. But again, I keep saying in a one-game situation where if they were able to get a playoff victory and everything breaks their way, I think it has great value, you know, with the Packers. And I keep saying that, yes, the Eagles and the Detroit Lions are, in my opinion, the top two teams in the conference. And I would put the Eagles slightly ahead of the Lions based off the 9-game win streak. But that being said, I think it's still winnable for the Rams. Again, if that defense could play the way it did last night, and I know that's a tough ask. They can make some noise. Again, Stafford's won a Super Bowl. So has McVay. Yeah. And Kyron Williams, you know, this guy, all he does is produce. I mean, yet again, another dominant performance in a rain-soaked type of atmosphere. When you can run the football, you're in games. That's the bottom line. And that's what the Rams do right now.
29 carries in consecutive games for Kyron Williams. And Joe, we have seen LA do this. Last year, they started 3-6. They won 7 of their final 8 to earn that playoff berth. This year, they start 1-4, enter their bye week, get healthier. They have won 7 of 9 from that point. Joe, they were 11-1, plus 1,100 to win the NFC West entering that week 6 bye. Here they are now as the slight minus money favorites. All right, Joe, with all of that in mind, right, implications as we can see in divisional duels, playoff consideration throughout the Week 15 slate, let's talk Sunday. But we're going to do it slightly differently. Normally, we just go in order of how it lays out in the odds board, starting with some of the earlier games at 1 and then working our way through Sunday night. We will preview all 13 games of the Week 15 Sunday slate. There is no doubt about that. But, Joe, with how good the games are, at 4:25 p.m. Eastern time, let's work in reverse order. Let's start on Sunday night and then go through that late afternoon window. Sunday night is a big one. The Seahawks still holding on to that half-game advantage over the Rams in the NFC West will host the Green Bay Packers. The Pack, a slight 2.5-point road favorite in the Pacific Northwest, in front of the 12s. Total at 46.5. Lisi guy, how do you break down Sunday night between the Pack and the Hawks?
Yeah, I like the Packers in the matchup. Again, I just think they're a little bit more complete, not to take away from Seattle. I was impressed with that dominant road win over Arizona. Zach Charbonnet has looked sharp, 130 yards, offensive line opening up gaping holes. But again, you talk about a team as well that's built to play this style. It's Green Bay. And I know they have Jordan Love, but Josh Jacobs on the road in terms of this atmosphere, I think they run it. I lean to the under right now, but again, don't be shocked if we have a shootout. We see crazy games in Seattle when Russell Wilson was there, right? Yeah. Green Bay and Seattle throughout the years. I'm going to go Green Bay and the under early on, but I can maybe get myself on the over as this week progresses. But it's definitely now, Green Bay for me right now.
Yeah, now I do think we see a little bit of points on Sunday night. Green Bay has scored 30-plus in 3 consecutive, over in 2 of 3. The only under on Thanksgiving night in a game that barely stayed under 47.5 against the Dolphins. Green Bay won that one 30-17. But, Joe, the Seahawks defense has been so much better as of late, 21 points or less in all four games on this win streak. In fact, in this win streak, Seattle has won outright as the underdog in all four. Frankly, I think it's going to be a great game on Sunday night between Green Bay and Seattle. Now let's get through that 4:25 p.m. Eastern window, Joe, in the game of the week and maybe a game of the year. The Lions and the Bills, Detroit, the Super Bowl favorite, Buffalo, second best price to win the AFC, fourth best number to win a Lombardi Trophy this season. In the Motor City, a 2.5-point spread in favor of the Lions. Over-under stands at 54 and a hook. If it stays there, it would be our highest total of this 2024 NFL season. So, Joe, the odds makers expecting a marvelous matchup. Close, competitive, high scoring. Will it match that expectation?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great game. Whether we get over the 55 points like we saw last week, that remains to be seen. I lean to the under right now just because, again, I think Buffalo on the road will want to try and run the football. I don't think they want Josh Allen trying to do it all. They want James Cook. They want more of a methodical attack going up against, you know, a very dominant defensive front in terms of Detroit. We'll see how this game plays out, but I like the Bills plus 120. Again, I don't put a lot of weight into the loss for Buffalo because, again, entering that game, they had won seven straight, right? The emotional games that they had won up until that point, there's going to be a letdown type of effect, and they still were in striking distance to lose it by two. The two games that we've seen with Detroit in back-to-back weeks against Green Bay and Chicago, they haven't covered as a favorite. So that is a cause of concern. I'm going to take the dog outright in this matchup.
You know what, Joe? I think it's an interesting spot because a lot of people were looking at last week's game for Buffalo after wrapping up their fifth consecutive AFC East crown as maybe a letdown in LA. I don't know if I would call it a letdown. They did end up losing the football game in a very high-scoring affair. I am worried about Detroit's defense. We'll talk about the injury report for the Lions, how we see the game on Sunday afternoon in the Motor City up next. And we continue our marquee matchup previews for Sunday here on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, we preview the marquee matchups at the 4:25 p.m. Eastern time window for our Week 15 Sunday slate. Again, Joe, Detroit and Buffalo, two of the four best prices to win a Lombardi Trophy this season. 2.5-point spread in favor of the Lions. Over-under stands at 54.5. Buffalo this year, an underdog just three times, all three games in the first 5 weeks of their season, both 1-2 straight up and against the spread, under in all three. Now, Joe, I think it would be great to get 55 plus points and flirt with this total of 54.5. I don't know if we get there. I understand Buffalo has scored 30 plus in seven straight, and of course the Lions are the best scoring offense in the NFL, but a couple of good injury news for Detroit, who of course has the extended rest playing last Thursday. Aleem McNeil has been at practice all week. Josh Pascal has been out there. It's a banged up Lions defense, but they should, at least based on the guys that were injured as of late, should be relatively healthy come Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like both offenses should be able to hum in that game. But again, you still need a clean ride. Like, think about that. That's 35-20. You know, if you're just saying one side wins, right? I mean, that's on almost every possession getting touchdowns in a game that has basically playoff implications, right? So it's hard because I'd rather wait in terms of, like right when I saw the total, I said dead under. There's no way that you're going to get 55 points. Now, if I watch the first quarter and they're flying up and down the field, I might change my assessment, but I'd rather not make that bet and take it from an in-game. Look at what happened last night. I mean, last night you get one full quarter, you're picking up 30s as opposed to 49 and a half, you know, when the game starts. So
for sure,
it's just a huge ask to say, you know, fit the highest total that we've seen all year, 55 points. Yeah, based off of last week, we're going to hum. I don't see it. I say Buffalo and the under. And again, if we get it into the 40s, that would be an area where I want to jump in, 41, 42.
I think there could be some great live moments in that game, Joe. At the same time, another marquee matchup, in-state showdown, despite being inter-conference between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Both teams also, like the matchup in Detroit, have double-digit wins and sit in first place in their respective divisions. Philly in first in the NFC East, Pittsburgh in first in the AFC North. 5.5-point spread, though, in favor of the Eagles at home in Philly. Total stands at 42.5. How do you see the game on Sunday?
Yeah, well, the stat that everybody's throwing around is why Pittsburgh hasn't won in Philadelphia since 1965. And I believe Russ is like 6-0 against the Eagles, you know, dating back to his days with Seattle. Here's the thing. I have a hot team that has won basically, what, 9 straight games heading into this into this matchup. And everybody's not upset exactly, because they haven't covered. And they've won those games by an average margin of about 14.5 points per game. But because they didn't cover against Carolina, all hell breaks loose, and A.J. Brown wants to jump off the ship, right? I can't buy it. I got the home team. It's an in-state rivalry. They have one of the best players on the field in terms of Saquon Barkley and Jalen Hurts, you know, playing well still within the scheme, even though he made some poor decisions. I like Philly's defense. That's it for me. I know Russ is undefeated, but I think Philly can run it. And I'm just not sold on the Steelers being complete, especially in a road spot here. I do, though, think we blow right through this total. 42.5 to me is very light, Ben. So give me the Eagles, the home team, and the over in a big way.
The Birds in this 9-game win streak, under in 6 of 9. The defense has been great. You can understand why the total is lower. 2 of the 5 best scoring defenses in the NFL. But in the 7 starts that Russ has made for the Steelers, over in 6, I happen to agree with you, Joe. At least that's how I would look at this game. I don't really know how I'm going to play it. Here's my thought on the A.J. Brown drama with Jalen Hurts. The odds makers understand the narrative. The number is 80.5. Okay, maybe to find the end zone. Plus 145 in a game we expect to be a little bit higher scoring, perhaps, in the pregame total. My best bet? A.J. Brown over 26.5 yards for his longest reception. Over in 6 of the 10 games he has played this year. Pittsburgh is great on the ground. 4th best rushing defense. If they can slow down Saquon, which is easier said than done, they trust Jalen Hurts, or they force Jalen Hurts to throw. He looks for A.J. Brown. More from Sunday in Week 15 up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network. He is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. That marquee matchup slate, 4:25 p.m. Eastern Time. Games of the week in Detroit, the Lions and the Bills. In Philadelphia, the Eagles and the Steelers in the Keystone Clash. But Joe, it's not just there. Let's go to Los Angeles. Chargers and the Buccaneers. L.A. 3-point favorite at home. Over understands at 45.5. Two teams certainly with the postseason on their mind. The Bucs back in the top spot in the NFC South. L.A., one of those 3 wild card teams right now in the AFC. What do you like on Sunday?
I was very critical of L.A. in the middle part of the year, but they built an identity, and I watched that game. Yep. Play out on Sunday night, and, you know, they bounce back from a 13-0 halftime deficit, and they turn it around. They had Kansas City on the ropes, just can't close the door. But at home against Baker, I think they're alive in this matchup, meaning I'm willing to lay the 3 points. I love Baker. Yeah. I love Tampa Bay. I just think they're up against it with a more physical team. And you know what? The 45.5, I like the over. I think Herbert and Baker could be in for a 600-yard performance in terms of the passing game. Even though L.A.'s a little banged up, Disley's out, and we know some of the injuries. But I still like the over in terms of the passing totals.
L.A.'s banged up. The Bucs are banged up. The injury report for this game reads like a full-length novel. If there's going to be injuries on both sides, might it get a little bit hectic over 45.5, despite the fact the Bolts have gone under in 9 of 13. I do think Tampa and that full field goal number is the first area I would look. The Bucs 4-3 against the spread this year as an underdog. 9-4 ATS last year. So with Baker Mayfield, 13-7 against the spread, 8 outright wins. I think it's a really good game on Sunday in Los Angeles. Can the Arizona Cardinals rectify their season, stay in the hunt for the NFC West? They're nearly a touchdown favorite at home against New England on Sunday. The Patriots fresh off the bye. Total is 46.5. What's the play out in the desert?
Yeah, it's my best bet of the week. You missed the soldier play. I think Arizona smashes New England in this game. Wow. And I understand Arizona's lost 3 straight. But this is an opportunity. Yep. Their backs are against the wall. They need to be back in this NFC West race. This is a perfect opponent. You have a rookie quarterback, dead team in terms of New England. They're not going to challenge you over the top vertically the way, you know, Seattle did last week with Geno, right? This is an opportunity to really flex out. I need to see Kyler as well be clean with the football and really get the football to Marvin Harrison Jr. outside of McBride. I think they do that. Could be a big game for James Conner as well. I think it's blowout city. Double-digit win for Arizona. Not sure we get to the 46.5, but it's Arizona and under.
I like the over in this game. I think the Patriots are playing with a little bit of life. They've gone over in 3 straight, 6 of their last 8. Drake May has a little bit of confidence in Moxie right now, and they have scored at least 22 points in 2 of their last 3. Arizona has allowed at least 23 in its last 2. Give me some points in what I think will be a fun game later in the afternoon. Big game for AFC wild card positioning. The Broncos are 8-5, out of the bye, hosting the Indianapolis Colts. If anybody is going to catch Denver, LA, or Baltimore, might it be the Colts or the Dolphins, both at 6-7. Denver, 3.5-point favorite as they welcome in Indy. 44.5, Joe, is that total. What's the play out in Mile High?
I think outright, Indy. This is my second best play of the weekend from a side perspective. I like the Colts plus 176 on the money line. I think they're able to run the football. I think they could put up some points. And I'm not just sold on Denver. We saw Jameis and Cleveland put up a huge number on them. If it weren't for the turnovers, Cleveland should have won that game. I like the Colts. Again, 44.5. You could probably get me in on the over here because, again, I think we'll see Bo Nix push some tempo. I think we'll see AR as well. But I like the Colts with this team. Number looks right, and even 176 on the money line to me looks even better, Ben.
When you look at these two teams right now, Joe, where they both stand from that spread perspective, Indianapolis this season, 6-3 against the spread as a dog. But nobody has been a better favored team than that of the Broncos. They are a perfect 6-0 ATS when booked as a favorite, covering by an average margin of 12 points per game. They have gone over in 5 of their 6 as a favorite as well. That defense has been taking a couple of knocks the last few weeks. Largest spread of the season, Joe, at MetLife on Sunday. The Giants, because of injuries to Drew Lock, going back to Tommy DeVito, and they're catching 16.5 at home against the Baltimore Ravens. The Flock fresh off a bye, laying a 3-score spread. Total 42.5. Lisa Guy, how do you break it down?
Well, part of me wants to take the Cutlet special. I mean, 16.5. Are we kidding ourselves? But here's the thing. I'm willing to take the over somehow, some way. I like that. I don't know about the side. I mean, I'd be inclined to take the 16.5 with the Giants at least, you know, covering last week. They lose to Darren Rizzi and the Saints. by three. But Derrick Henry, over 103.5, sure thing. He's going to rush for 180 in this game. But make no bones about it. In the cold weather, he's going to rush. It might be like, what, 40, 45 degrees. He'll blow right through that Giant defense. If Saquon got 175 against them earlier in the year, Henry's good for close to two Bills. So I'll go over Henry, and I'll go Giants reluctantly with the points.
28 of 30 games for the G-men since the start of last year in underdog. They're not terrible at covering numbers. 12-15-1 against the spread. I just don't know how many points they're going to put up. I think it's a big game for the Ravens, who I hope use the bye week to get better defensively. If they are going to be a true conference or Super Bowl contender, they cannot be allowing 24.5 points per game as a bottom 10 scoring defense. You find 14 points for the Giants, I shake your hand. I go under Giants team total of 13 and a hook as they turn it back over to Tommy Cutlets. Joe, the only game on the Sunday slate that features a matchup of two teams that have both been eliminated from postseason contention in Duval County, it's the Jags and the Jets. New York, 3.5-point road favorite, total 40.5. If I had to make you pick the game, what would it be?
Over. I'll take a shot on the over 40.5. That's the only thing you could get me in on. I mean, I would take Jacksonville just because we don't know how gutless the Jets are, but I can't buy into Mac Jones in this situation. Evan Ingram now completely out for the year on IR. No way. But 40.5 with the young guys in there, maybe we get points. I mean, that's the only thing I can think of. That's my best play. I'm not betting it in any capacity come Sunday, but I would take a shot over 40.5, Ben.
Yeah, again, I don't really have much of a thought on this game either. The Jags have covered in 6 of their last 7, which is maybe not what you would expect out of a team that has only 3 wins and has writing on the wall for changes to this franchise moving forward. I don't know, Lisa, got just how I see it right now for this game. Carolina will be booked as a favorite on Sunday for the first time since the end of the 2022 season, snapping a 33-game streak booked as the underdog. The Panthers laying 2.5 against the Dallas Cowboys. Over under 42.5. Why are you already shaking your head?
Because I just think of Xavier Cinderblock Leggett. You're dropping that ball last week. They're dead to me, Carolina. I reluctantly take Dallas in the over, Ben, but I don't love it.
Xavier Leggett. Get the name correct if you're going to slander him and call him a Cinderblock legend. The Panthers have been playing better football. They've covered in 5 in a row. More from the Sunday slate up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle. It is FFC. He is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. We round out the Sunday slate before we talk a little bit of college football in the final 15 minutes of our hour together on this Football Friday. Joe, next up, after we leave Carolina, we head to Cleveland. The Browns, 4.5-point home underdog, total at 43.5 as Cleveland welcomes in the Kansas City Chiefs, who, yes, are 12-1. But 10 of the 12 wins by just a single score. Joe, they've been flirting with danger. They've been flirting with losses and yet find and often create new and inventive ways to win football games. Will it catch up with the Chiefs this week in Cleveland?
No, this might be my third best bet. I'll give you a double. I think the Chiefs, this is going to be a game. It's going to be close for a half. And then in the second half, the Chiefs are going to win by double digits. I don't see Kansas City being pushed by Cleveland right now. Cleveland's given, you know, its best shot. And think about the games that Cleveland's played. Denver, Pittsburgh. Now they have to face another blue-collar defense, potentially the best in the conference in terms of the Kansas City Chiefs, right? Still fighting to keep on to that number one seed. They still have to win out. Anything is possible with the Bills still two games behind. But at the end of the day, Ben, you know, I think Mahomes lights it up. Jameis might actually spurn him to throw for 300 and three touchdowns just because Jameis might want to say, I'm the best quarterback on the field. Give me the Chiefs. Give me the over. Give me Mahomes for 300 somehow, some way. I'm not buying into the Browns. No way. Absolutely not. I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid. Not getting drunk on cheap wine, baby.
You were a couple of weeks ago. The Browns, a 3-10 football team that have only covered once in any of their 10 losses. They have played spoiler as a home underdog often this year against the Ravens, against the Steelers, other good AFC teams. Lisi Guy says not on Sunday in week 15 against the Chiefs. Keep an eye on Isaiah Pacheco. The production is on the upswing. 7 carries after he returned from IR against the Raiders on Black Friday. 14 last night on Sunday, or last week on Sunday night against the Chargers. Plus 125, Joe, to find Pater. He has not done it yet since his return from IR. I think I like that look for Isaiah Pacheco. Again, we work in reverse order. A lot of the good games on Sunday, Joe. 4:25 p.m. Eastern time and later. Here's maybe the best game of the early window. The Texans hosting the Dolphins. 2.5-point spread in favor of Houston. Fresh off the bye. 46.5 is that total. Miami needs to keep winning games to stay alive in the AFC playoff picture. Houston trying to hold on to the top spot in the AFC South. What gives on Sunday in H-Town?
I lean to Houston, Ben, but this to me is a game that we blow through the total. Houston has basically trended to the under in a lot of their home games this year just because they've been, you know, inconsistent with Tua, with that offense. I think Stroud realizes they have to light it up. You're going to get Houston's best effort. That's why I believe Houston is the right side. Don't love it, but I'm leaning to the Texans. Can't buy into McDaniel on the road, especially against a very good opponent. But give me the over. I think we get points aplenty in terms of this matchup.
Since Tua's return from the IR, 7 games now, the Dolphins have gone over in 5 of 7. As an underdog, Joe, the Fins have not been great under Mike McDaniel. They are just 8-12 against the number. Only 4 outright wins. They need to win this game outright. The spread is less than a field goal. That is what Miami is hoping and expecting. I don't really know how I feel, knowing the Dolphins have not been a great underdog. The Texans, though, have not been a great favorite with C.J. Stroud, just 6-10-2 against the spread with Stroud as their starting quarterback since the start of a season ago. 2 more games to wrap up from Sunday. Do the Bengals have any more life? We shall see. Cincy, 4.5-point favorite on the road in Nashville against the Titans. 46.5 is that total. Lisi Guy, Cincy has been great on the road. 4-0 against the spread as a road favorite this year. Does it continue on Sunday?
I can only look Cincinnati, but again, I don't love it. The 4.5 scares me. This could be a 24-20 game just because we saw Cincinnati almost lose it to Dallas, right? So, and Nashville is always a difficult place to play, no matter how bad Tennessee is. Could we get over the 46.5? You would hope to think that Joe Burrow throws for 400, but I can't buy it, Ben. So I reluctantly take the over. I like Cincinnati, but again, this is another game I'm not pulling the trigger because I don't know what to expect out of Tennessee. I have no idea what you're going to get out of this ball club right now.
The Titans are eliminated from playoff contention within the AFC. The Bengals mathematically are not. There would be some hope if they could win this game after building on the optimism from Monday night. Joe, if we're expecting points, I think it's one-sided. The issue for Cincy this year has not been their offense. Joe Burrow has thrown for at least 3 passing touchdowns in 5 straight games. It's a plus 194 price against Tennessee on Sunday. Final game of Sunday, starting in that early window. The Commanders, 7.5-point road favorite in New Orleans against the Saints. Total 43.5. Joe, New Orleans now starting Jake Haener because of the injured left hand slash wrist of Derek Carr. The Saints have won 3 of 4 with the interim head man and the pride of the Garden State, Darren Rizzi. But against a Washington team that is 8-5 and fresh out the bye, playing with a backup quarterback being New Orleans, I'm not sure how competitive this game is.
Washington wins, the Rizzler covers again. The Rats, all he does is cover again. Now, granted, I was against him last week. He was going right home, and that line movement, you know, suggested that you take the Giants. I just didn't buy in the Saints in a cold weather environment. At home, Washington, I think, wins, but I think it's a very close game somehow, some way. It might be an under just because the Saints might be limited, especially without Taysom Hill and Carr. Look for them to run it with Kamara.
I would say, Joe, this is a great teaser spot to bring Washington through 7-3, basically down to a point and a half favorite, a pick'em, and find your number there because I do think the Commanders win. Don't love laying 7.5 on the road in this spot. Some college football conversation, Army-Navy, Heisman talk, Bill Belichick next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Let's go in order for a college football weekend that is not your full Sunday slate. Still one weekend to go until we get to the college football playoff. But we'll start with Bill Belichick's introductory press conference on a Thursday afternoon. We'll get to the Army-Navy game for the 125th time on Saturday afternoon. And then Saturday night, it's the Heisman Trophy presentation in 2024. Lisi guy, Bill Belichick's introductory press conference. He talked about the process of how he even welcomed in the North Carolina job and the prospect of working in Chapel Hill. He was asked about how his system would relate to the college game. Are the similarities there between a newer professional style model in CFB and what he knows from his nearly half century in the National Football League? And he was asked what success looks like and how long he expects to stick around if the NFL comes calling. What did you make of what Belichick had to say as he was introduced as Carolina's new head man?
Well, I think he said it basically when he was a kid. Billy said, be Duke, right? Isn't that basically, you know, isn't that what he, that's all that matters. You know, you got to beat them Blue Devils, baby, right? Yeah. Look, here's the thing. He's not going back to the NFL, I don't believe. I think he was very calculated in how he approached this situation. Again, whether he had a manifesto or not, doesn't really matter. I believe that his, you know, type of, you know, just work ethic and what he brings from a schematic and just organizational standpoint does translate to the current landscape of college football. And that's not a knock on Saban. I just think Saban had done it for so long that he didn't want to really deal with the challenges of going back or working back in terms of an NFL environment. That's why he left the Miami Dolphins. You know, he didn't like the current landscape back then where, you know, the players would push back and it was more of a business, right? So I think Bill sort of embraces that, though. That's the difference if we're making the correlation. And again, you know, I really believe he's going to have success. I saw the schedule that plays out. You know, they do play Scott Frost on September 20th. Scott Frost coming back home to UCF. That's not an easy game, especially on the road in the bounce house. They do play Clemson. Outside of that, Ben, I mean, a very manageable schedule. We talked about the 7.5 yesterday. That was before I saw the schedule. I'm willing to make a bet that just as a dark horse, they maybe can pull in Indiana and maybe crack the college football playoff.
Yeah, I don't know, Joe. I still remain a little bit skeptical about how successful this will be in terms of that high ceiling in North Carolina. However, my thought is this. Bill Belichick said he did not take this job to leave, which is fine, and yet the contract came out yesterday, and June 1st, 2025 is an interesting date. It's when the buyout of his deal drops from $10 million before to $1 million after. Interesting stuff in my estimation. That would be even before his first season. It doesn't exactly give you the idea that he is here for a long time. We shall see. Still think Carolina, if coached by Bill Belichick next season, will win probably 7 or 8 games. Army Navy, Joe, 125th time on Saturday afternoon. The Black Knights of Army are a 6.5-point favorite. The midshipmen of the Naval Academy looking to pull the upset. Total 39.5. What's your best bet for Army Navy?
I like the dog. I'm going to take a shot with Navy in terms of the matchup. Blake Horvath and that team, I think, can throw the football just a little bit better than Army. Army's defense is legit. No taking away from what, you know, Monken and the crew have done. But I'll take a shot in a rivalry game. Always want those points. And you know what, Ben? You know what this smells like? Smells like pure Americana, pure blue-collar football. Give me the under. 39.5. I'm an under guy. You know that, Ben. Smells, run it. Tick, 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 tick. The fact that this line is readjusted, and you know I was always on these overs, right? We've seen 34.5. We've seen 33.5. We've seen it as low in game, 26.5. The fact that they're pricing it at 39.5 pre-kick, I can't buy in from that perspective. I'm taking the under right from the get-go.
Lisi, we haven't seen 40-plus points in the Army-Navy game since 2013. 17 of the previous 18 matchups have hit the under. Look at this guy go. Under Lisi is what they call him each and every week. By the way, Heisman Trophy, Travis Hunter, minus 10,000 favorite to strike the pose on Saturday night in the Big Apple. He's Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. That does it for Football Full Circle this week. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you on Monday.